This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Texans open the season in New Orleans Monday night against the New Orleans Saints. They're also going to host the New England Patriots December 1st, primetime. Little bit of Sunday night football. NFL cornerback Stanford Rout joins In the Loop right now. He's trying to get his Instagram game tight. He's having people take pictures for him like a damn tourist or something like that. Sean, are you seeing this? I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Bad and bullshit.
This guy here.
When Stanford Rout steps into the hallway and asks me to come in, I don't ask.
You don't ask, you know, why.
I don't ask why. I say, how fast do you need this?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. You do.
And to be fair,
and he's smiling too, like he's in action too. This guy,
Stanford Rout has one of the best Instagram follows there is.
Guy, I mean,
he's taking pictures.
Pictures got the back of my head like King Kong Bundy
from cliffs in Brazil. And have you ever gone through Stanford's Instagram, man?
Stanford puts the ASIC itch in basic bitch right now with what he's doing right now. He's even pointing. Look at this guy. You believe this, bozo?
Well, now you got something to look forward to on Instagram.
Stanford likes football, but he's also a big fan of playoff basketball. What
yes,
have been
I
your
am.
Biggest takeaways from the NBA playoffs up to this point?
Oh, my biggest takeaway probably is the job that Doc Rivers has done with the Clippers all season.
Yes, sir.
And how they don't have necessarily a marquee star player, and for them to actually make the playoffs, give Golden State the beatdown that they gave him in the second half yesterday on Monday night was very impressive. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think that they're going to win the series. I think that Golden State's going to.
I don't think they win another game.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, they
I
may
think,
not.
I think Golden State's going to bounce him up out of there in game five. But just the job that he's done with them. Also, I think that for my Spurs to come into the season without DeJounte Murray, without the entire season, the job that Derek White has done as the point guard, actually being a slasher and a playmaker, and for the San Antonio Spurs to have the seventh seed and win game one against Denver in Denver, and should have won game two last
Denver's
night.
Denver's been folding, though. You knew that was coming.
Well, they had a chance.
They are the number seven seed, and they're going to beat the number two seed.
Yeah.
I think that this is probably Pop's best job coaching that he's done since he's been a San Antonio Spurs coach. I do believe that.
And you could see that
That's
coming.
Saying a lot.
Well, here's the thing.
I agree.
You could see that coming. Pop is the kind of guy that he didn't want to be known as, well, now that Duncan's gone and Parker's gone and Ginobili's gone, I'm going to go ahead and retire. That's the last thing he wanted.
I thought he would.
Yeah, he wanted to prove, you know, exactly, you know, that he could do it. And he's doing it without DeJounte Murray, as you said.
And they got a chance to get to the West Finals. I mean, if you're not – I think they're going to knock off Denver eventually, and then you're going to face the winner of that OKC-Portland matchup. And
right.
Without a Nurkic. I think that's the big key right there for Portland. For anybody that plays, I believe that Portland's going to win the series. Anybody that plays Portland in that semifinal round without a Nurkic, I think that it is easy, like you just said, Landry, I think it's to be had the route to the Western Conference
Finals.
And
then there's Boogie, of course. That is the story right so far, right?
Boogie Cousins being out for probably the remainder of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if the Rockets are able to take care of the Jazz, they're up 1-0 right now, game two tonight out at the Toyota Center, then we'll see another matchup against the Golden State Warriors without Boogie Cousins. Joining us now, someone who covers the Rockets for ESPN.com, Tim McMahon joins the show. Tim, we've been talking about Game 2 Rockets-Jazz tonight. What adjustments do you see Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder making? Are there any adjustments to be made? Do they just need to have shots fall?
Well, you know, certainly I think that they need to have shots fall. And look, they have to play better defensively. That will help them offensively. If it's a grinded out half court style of game for them offensively, they're gonna have trouble scoring. They need to be able to get out some in transition, you know, get some offense early. And I don't really think that they're gonna make just major adjustments as far as their defensive game plan goes. I just think they need to execute it much better. And look, it's one thing to force Harden to his right. It's another basically to say, okay, hey, fly downhill and play 5-on-4. They cannot release Harden nearly as easily as they did. I mean, they can't just, you know, give him so many options, the lob, you know, the wide open corner three, the rotations have to be a lot tighter. But, you know, having said all that, in terms of, you know, Harden scoring 29 points on 26 shots, they will take that every time. They just can't let him get everybody else involved and everybody else in a rhythm.
Dude, was he listening earlier when I said basically the exact same thing?
This guy thinks he's an AAU coach. Ignore him, McMahon. He thinks he's an AAU coach.
I agree with a lot of that also.
Hold on. I had no idea that Tim McMahon was listening to this show. Because earlier,
he wasn't. He was sleeping.
Earlier, I was talking.
Yeah, trust me, I was asleep. Landry got the last night.
Earlier, I was saying that, you know, you're 10 for 26. It's incredible. It's not so much that I would change a single thing in the game plan other than making sure that they're not getting wide open threes. I mean, that's the key thing. All these adjustments and things, I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, but they like I said, they can't just let it be 5-on-4. I mean, so many times, whether it was Rubio or Royce O'Neal, essentially fine. You invite him to drive right, and they're playing behind him. They're not even in the play anymore. They have to stay attached to him. And you know, they have to at least be there to challenge not only the shots but the passes. Just way too many open or easy, you know, easy feeds for him. And if you go back, you know, obviously they're borrowing from the Milwaukee Bucks. The way that Bledsoe played him and the way Rubio and Royce O'Neal played him, totally different. Bledsoe was a pest the entire time. I mean, he was, you know, Harden knew what he had for lunch because he's, you know, he felt his stank breath the entire game. That was not the case with Rubio and O'Neal.
Talking to ESPN.com's Tim McMahon, covers the Rockets and other teams for ESPN. You took exception with something I said yesterday. That's a broad statement. But I said that Clint Capella has owned Rudy Gobert the last two seasons, and you kind of took a little bit of exception with that. Tell the people why.
Well, look, I think those are two of the best big men in the NBA. But I would say Capella has played extremely well, certainly in last season series and also the other night. But he has the humongous benefit of being able to play with and off of James Harden. And you know, like I told you last night, if you flip, you put Gobert on the Rockets and Capella on the Jazz, then, you know, I think that the Rockets are even more dominant. So Gobert has to play essentially one-on-two in so many of those situations. And look, to Capella's credit, he is a perfect fit with James Harden. Mm-hmm. I mean, he not only knows how to play with him, but the athleticism, the timing, the chemistry, he has probably the best hands of any big man in the NBA. All those things make him a great fit with Harden, but it's no secret. I mean, the guy benefits tremendously by being able to play with maybe the best offensive player of the last, you know, since Michael Jordan, and a guy who just spoon feeds him bucket after bucket after bucket.
Hey Tim, Stanford Route here. I got a question for you, and this is something that I've been toying with probably for the last couple months. I'm a huge Spurs fan, so I'm a natural born Rockets hater. Even though I still can understand and respect the greatness of a Chris Paul and a James Harden and just the entire Rockets organization all the way up to Daryl Morey. So let me ask you this. This is something that I've been wondering. To combat how you actually play against the Rockets, would it be smart to simply just play them straight up, do not help, and if James Harden has 50 layups or dunks or whatever you want to call it in the lane, in the paint, but just allow him to do whatever he's going to do, if he's going to get his layups or his dunks, but just do not help, do not crash down. That way you can eliminate the dish out to P.J. Tucker in the corner or Gordon on the wing or things like that. That way, because we see that Houston loves to shoot the three, basically just eliminate the three-point shot, deter them from doing that, and just give them everything in the lane if that's what they want to choose.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that's not a completely out there theory. Matter of fact, I wrote a story going into the series on, you know, kind of talking to coaches, talking to scouts around the league, and there were some people who basically said, look, you play Harden straight up, you know, do your best with him one-on-one, but you cannot let the other guys get rolling. And again, the Jazz did, I mean, 29 points, 26 shots. The Jazz did a great job in terms of limiting Harden as a scorer. They'll take that every single game. But the problem was he did get everybody else going. You know, when Eric Gordon's knocking down threes, when P.J. Tucker's getting clean, wide-open looks and you know, getting some confidence, Capella's dunks at the at the rim, that's a problem. Having said that, it's not even the fear with Harden is no longer him getting into the teeth of your defense and, you know, finishing at the rim. It's that step back three.
Yeah,
that step back three has caused the best defense in the Western Conference to completely alter their scheme. That, I mean, it's the most feared weapon in the NBA, James Harden's step back three. It is this this generation's version of Kareem Skyhook. It is a completely unblockable, just lethal weapon that, for 99% of players in the league, it's a bad shot. For James Harden, it forces defenses to completely alter their scheme.
Tim, we'll let you get out of here on this. Tim McMahon of ESPN.com. You have an MVP vote, I believe. Who are you voting for, the Greek Freak or James Harden?
I voted for Dirk Nowitzki.
Shut up, Tim. Are you one of those don't ask who I voted for guys?
Luka.
I hate you, dude. He voted for Clint Capella.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing, Tim.
Joe Ingles.
Good Lord. I'm out of here on that.
No, I honestly, I thought it was a coin flip. I really did. I went Harden. The one thing I don't like at all, spend a lot of time down here in Houston, obviously being around the Rockets, like the idea that voting for Giannis is some sort of conspiracy, some sort of anti-Harden, like, no.
True.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
This guy, he was an absolutely dominant player in every facet of the game except for three-point shooting. For the team with the best record in the NBA, he is absolutely a legitimate MVP candidate. And if he wins it, it's not some kind of crime. Having said all that, I did go James Harden.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.